Before we get started, we want to pour the Lord in word of prayer. We ask for Jared to would lead us in word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another time we got to let people in that Lord. Worship thee and hear from thy word, Lord. I pray that you bless Brother Henry now as he brings what you've given him, Lord. I pray that you'd be with Brother Larry as he's out. I pray for his mother to make up for him, Lord. I pray that you might been our good help, Lord, but that is all in thy hands. We thank you for this church here, Lord, that we're going to stand on. Pray you help us continue to be a light shining in the darkness, Lord. Help us to be, both as a church and individually, busy about the work you've called to do, Lord. I thank you for all that you do for us, for Christ and his sacrifice. We pray to save souls among us, Lord, that you tonight might save a lost soul here, Lord. We pray that you would go with us now, be all the glory in our services. In the name of Christ, I pray.
Amen. All right, if you would turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, we're going to try to read a few scriptures out of Romans 12, make maybe a comment or two, and we hope that we can be a blessing to each one of you tonight. We hadn't had much time to study on this, but of course, a lot of times when I study, it gets worse. So we may be in for a good lesson tonight. So you all pray for us as we try to read and make a comment or two on the sermon, on the lesson tonight. We would like to say it's good to be back in the house of the Lord, and I'm thankful that I'm able to be able to stand up here and praise the Lord. And this is something this morning, this evening, that we all need to be thankful for, that we can tell other people about the Lord and how that, what he's done for them. And in the lesson that we're going to try to read to you tonight and study is verse 1 of the 12th chapter. It says, I beseech thee, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this saying of therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And you can, you know, we say a lot of times we can't control these little bodies, and they are a barricade because they just go every which way. But anyway, by the mercies of God, you can live closer to the Lord than you do. And he says here by the that you present your bodies a living, not a dead, but a living sacrifice. And this morning, or this evening, a living sacrifice is one that you're able to tell the people or anybody that you have a conversation with about the living God, about how that he brought life into you, and how that you're able to, through that mercy, present your bodies into his service and to do the things that would be pleasing to him. And that's one of the things that we need to let people understand, is that's why that we try to testify, and why we try to tell people about this. So many people think that you're trying to push something off on them. So many people don't understand that God loves them, and that he sent others to them, that because he loves them. And they don't understand that he died on the cross of Calvary because he loved people, and that he wanted to see people with him in heaven. And so when we have an opportunity to be a service to someone and witness to someone, we need to realize that we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, because Jesus was the greatest of all witnesses, and his final witness that he, on this earth, was when he gave his life. And the Bible tells us, you know, that's the greatest thing you can do, is to give your life for a brother. And so here this he says that you should present your bodies a living sacrifice, or one that is a sacrifice is one that is doing things because that they love the Lord. And because you're doing this, and so many people will ask you this day and time, Why do you go to church every Sunday? Or what are you getting out of that and all this? Well, it's because we're a living sacrifice. And yeah. when the church assembles together, we are a part of that body. And without a whole body, a body can't do as much. And so we need to think about a living sacrifice is when we come to church, just like tonight. If we're not hindered in any way, we should be here, and that we should be a sacrifice, and we should be an example to the world. And people will watch you. And if you start a habit of getting up on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and leaving home and getting back 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the evening, they're going on Sunday. They're going to say, "Well, what's he doing? Where's he at? What's he going?" And listen, it will make a point to people, and you're a living sacrifice to those people, and it's pleasing to God, because he says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. And if you do this, holy and acceptable unto God, and it is acceptable to him, because that's what he wants us to do, is to tell others about his loving kindness, his son that died, and the everlasting salvation that he has to offer. And that's the testament that we should have every day in our mouth. And if we have an opportunity, we should not back off. And if people make fun of us, well, we can still go ahead and tell them anyway. And it's in their ball. It's in their court then, because you've presented this to the people, and if they don't accept it, well, you've done what you're supposed to do. But if you don't do these things and you pass them up and you're too shy or something like this, first of all, you need to get right with the Lord and ask for strength for this old fleshly body that it has, because it don't want to do it. But anyway, that's where your strength comes from, is from God out of heaven, and to be a witness for him, because he says here that acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is the best reason for it. It's your reasonable service. And you've heard the old expression a lot of times about it's just your reasonable service to do these things. And it's something that's pleasing to God, and it's definitely, definitely good for you. More than one way, because when you're pleasing to God like this, God will look on you and smile, and he'll be with you and help you, and you can feel a better attitude within yourself, because, you know, I don't like to witness to someone and say, "Boy, I already told him," but I like to think this, that maybe what I said was a help to them, and maybe what I said will benefit them, and God will be pleased in it, because that's what it's all about. So in verse 2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world," or don't be shaped like the world is. Don't be one that is haughty, or don't be one that's don't want to, if you got something that you know about the Lord, don't be stingy with it. Because listen, a lot of people don't want to tell others about it, and if you run across the Church of Christ, a woman that you can witness to, they want to hold back and say, "Well, they don't believe that way." Well, that's no reason not to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, because we this morning know, or this evening know, that we have the truth, and the Bible bears record to our studies and our beliefs, and it's true. And so many people out there that are off on some things, even on security of the believer. I've heard people that just cannot grasp the thoughts of security of the believer. Well, it's because they're not being taught right, and they're not close enough to the Lord to hear it, and they're missing a great blessing. Because that is the comfort of a dying soul that has been saved. That is the comfort of it. And you could leave this world, you could say, "Goodbye, old world, because I know for sure where I'm going, and there's no doubt in my mind about it." And listen, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you from time to time during your life, and he will conduct you through those paths that you trod. And when the Lord spoke to you, he will bear witness with that and show you these things. And so he says, you're not to be conformed to this world. Don't have that old attitude where that I'm better than someone else, or there's no God, or things of this nature. Because listen, that's being conformed to the world, shaped like the world, and the world don't believe in anything that's godly. They believe in works, and that's it. So he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, there is a thing that a saved person goes through and is transformed through the love of God and through the Holy Spirit wooing them. He's transformed, which is called salvation. And this can happen because Jesus Christ, our Savior, died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for the remission of sin. And that sin, that blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary has covered that sin to where that God cannot see it, because it's Jesus Christ's blood. And when he looks upon the blood, he cannot see anything wrong with the blood. And so that's a way of looking at transformed or being changed or whatever by the renewing of your mind. And that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so these things are some of the things, and being transformed is one of the ways where that you can, it says here, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect thing. So a sinner that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior cannot approve of the teaching of God's Word until the Holy Spirit speaks to him. And so he can read it from cover to cover, and there's people that will boast to you, I've read the Bible through and through 15 times. I've read every line. But listen, it's just like reading a Sears and Roebuck catalog. What they don't mean anything to them. It's a bunch of words, and until the Holy Spirit comes in and bears witness with that and convicts that soul that it's lost, and convicts that soul that it needs salvation, that it needs the Lord Jesus Christ's blood shed, because he shed it for that remission of sin. Listen, there's no understanding of God's Word. Now, they can quote it to you, and people will get it down, and they'll quote it, and the devil will help them. But listen, they don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're telling you. And they'll try their best to use it for an argument to prove a point, if nothing else, that there was no eternity, that there was no choosing in eternity, or that there was no Jesus. They'll use these scriptures any way they can to twist them around. And so this is what the writer Paul here saying, that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, he says here in verse 3, in the service of love to all, in verse 3 it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so, first of all, you know, so many people will throw their head back and brag and say, I've been going to church for 50 years, I've been a Christian, I've never sinned. And listen, you think that's funny. Some people just chuckle about saying people telling them they haven't sinned. But I've seen people that says, I don't sin. Well, they've been deceived, because as long as this spirit is in this flesh and this flesh is living, this flesh is going to sin. And it may not be outwardly. It may be in this mind up here around some foolish thoughts, some ugly thoughts, some thought that they don't need to be thinking about. But listen, it's sinful flesh. But people don't understand that. They think that they can do good works and this body is pure. And they think, well, I'm keeping it perfect and I'm not sinning. But they don't understand the body's purpose is. It's just the temple of the Holy Spirit and the temple of carrying your spirit around in to, until you leave it. It's your home here on earth in a sense, but you're going to leave this flesh and it's going to lay down and die and it's going to rot and it's going to be risen again and it's going to be glorified. And you're going to come and meet with it, and that is going to be then that you'll be a perfect being where that you can walk in the presence of the Savior Jesus Christ and be in heaven. So this thing here of, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. And so we as Christians should put ourselves on the lower round of the ladder, and that's where we should stay humble and understand that God loves those with a humble heart, and he listens to them, because all through the scripture, you know, Jesus talked about the poor and the lonely and those that were not able to have anything, and they didn't have no reason to have a think of themselves as highly, because they knew they didn't have nothing. And Jesus loved them, and he always spoke about the poor and all this. So here we need to think about this thing of not thinking of himself more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, clearly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And he gives us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here, he said, to every man the measure of faith. And so when we get that, if we have that and we know it, then we ought to be satisfied. But listen, we ought to be humble, more humble about our condition than we are a lot of times. So for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And he's comparing this to a church. And you know, this morning, or this evening, I keep saying morning, this evening, there's several here tonight. And a lot of them are members of this church. And listen, everyone here has something to do with the service being better. And sometimes when one is sick, one is out because of something that they can't help, listen, it takes away from the service, because even like tonight, we miss Brother Larry. He's not here to tell us about the preach the word to us. We miss him, but we understand that it's not a permanent thing. And listen, Sunday, hopefully he'll be back. But what I'm trying to say is, as a group, we need to stay together when we can possibly come together at when the meeting comes. We need to be here, and we need to strengthen one another. We need to encourage them, and we need to pray for them, and get this. And you know, a well-oiled machine runs well. And listen, when you're praying for a brother or praying for each one here, and a lot of times I know most of you do, when you pray, you go right down this row and back up this way, or up this way and down this way. And all of those that have been here, all those that have left, and all of those that might need our prayers, you pray for. And you know, that in a way is the oil that keeps the church going, and that's what God blesses us. So here again, as many members in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one, the church, in Christ, and every one member one of another. And so we're one member, but we're still one of another. And so we're all in the same thing, but we're all one of another. So we're together in godly love. We're together in brotherly love, and we should be just like one big pillow all the time. And then when we dissolve and go, we leave our home or go back to our home. But we should come, when we come together, we should be like a rock. And while we're out there, we should be like little rocks. folks. We should be sound and pray for one another, and the Lord will bless this church. He's blessing this church now, and you know, sometimes people outside say, well, hey, you got many there, I don't see the 4 or 5 cars. But if we're all sticking together like we should, that sticking together can move a great load. And God knows our needs, He knows our prayers, He knows all about us, and when we try to serve Him, even though we're small in number, He heeds to our prayers and listens to us, and we can bless one another, and we can bless others. We can turn things around for a lot of things if we just continue praying for it. So here, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, different gifts, and gifts of healing, gifts of prayer, gifts of singing, gifts of teaching, these gifts, having then different gifts, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministering, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. And so all of these things, these gifts that we see here, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. So we just need to be patient and wait on these gifts, because they're here in the church. They're here, and all we have to do is use them. And how do we use them? Is by asking the Lord to help us with these things. There might be someone here today that wants to do something greater for the Lord than they are doing. Then I say he should be praying, or she should be praying. And I say this, that as the time goes on, and if you could tell it to the church, and let the church pray about it, because a lot of times the church don't know about these things. Pray for it, and you'll see things happen that you didn't think would happen, because there's talents in this church that you wouldn't believe. There is talents that we can use for the Lord. And so remember these things when you pray about those that have a greater desire. A lot of times people get shy, and they don't want to say, well, I'm going to try to do this because they're afraid somebody say, well, is he trying to take the church over or something like that, you know. But listen, if you do it with the love of God, if you do it because you love the Lord, be bold in it, and stand up for the Lord, and ask help from the church, because it'll happen if you'll do it. And here he says again, or he that exhorteth in verse 8, or he that exhorteth, he that giveth, let him do it simply, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor or detest that which is evil, cleave to that which is cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another. And so here's some of the things that we can do for one another. This is some of our desires. And it says here, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience, tribulations, continuing instantly in prayer. And so all of these things, the last thing he says is instantly in prayer. And we this morning, or this evening, need to remember that we have the right to go to Jesus Christ and ask him to take a prayer to God. I mean, it's our privilege. It's not something that we can boast of, or it's not nothing that we can say, well, I'm doing this and they can't do this. But listen, that's, to me, is the way that the prayer life is, that, you know, and of course, Jesus said, when you pray, pray thy Father which art in heaven. And God can hear our prayers through Jesus Christ, because when Jesus presents these prayers to him, he looks on Jesus and he sees the blood. That's the reason why he can come before God and present your prayers and my prayers to him, because of the blood. And he sees the blood, and he cannot deny the blood. And then we were studying some last night about the blood and all this. Listen, God cannot deny the blood, because that is the living source. And so he says here, rejoice in hope in verse 12, patient in tribulation, continuing instantly in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And if you don't think you'll get a blessing out of that, you try it. Someone comes up to you and says thanks to you and acts ugly towards you, don't fly off the handle, and don't let the devil get behind you and say, hey, I hit him, or I'd get him back. But listen what it says here. It says right here, bless them which persecute you. And when he says bless it, he means pray for them and ask the Lord to help them to understand that you're not their enemy. And so many people this day and time think that I'm their enemy because I'll tell them about Jesus Christ. They won't come up face to face, but the devil is behind them, in them, around them, and punching them and gigging them. Listen, and you know this sounds stupid and sounds funny, but listen, that's the devil working in this world. And he knows just exactly how to get one of his children, and all that are lost are his children. And he knows how to talk to them, and he says, hey, they're making fun of you, or they're making out like that you don't know anything. But listen, and if they turn around and cuss you or whatever, don't let it bother you, because you just pray for them. And he says here, bless them which persecute you. And persecuting means hurting terribly bad sometimes. But he says, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And that's we try to do, is to weep with those that have problems and sorrows, and we pray for them, because we like to see them get better. And so here he says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own concept. So don't put yourself up over somebody else and say, he's a dumb bunny, he don't know nothing. Because listen, we're all God's people. We're all made of God, and he loves those that love him. And so, you know, talking about entertaining angels unaware, I mean, you got to remember that. So, in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. And that is something that if we can try and practice and learn to do, it's a whole lot easier on the heart. It's a whole lot easier on the mind. And if you can live peaceably with that person and understand their way of thinking a lot of times, and try to understand them and pray for them, that's the best remedy for this laying in bed and rolling and tumbling and saying, oh, I wish he didn't feel that way, or I wish I knew what. Just pray for him. And so here, dearly beloved, in verse 19, fix and close, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so this morning, this evening, you don't need to try to repay a wrong that somebody's done to you. That's what the Lord told Paul to write here. He says, avenge not yourselves. It's not your place Jesus said, smack, if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other. And that's not avenging. But the thing of it is, when you try to avenge someone, then you're getting in the same shape that he's in. And it just don't work, and it's not pleasing to God. So he says, he would repay the thing himself. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So you can have an enemy that will hurt you in any way they can. But if you're good to him, and if you try to help him, listen, it says it's just like heaping coals of fire on his head. And so by that, the way to go is to be kind-hearted towards your enemy and pray for him. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so that's something this morning or this evening we have to try. We have to try to do is to be not overcome of evil. Don't let it get over you, and don't let it hinder you, and don't let it keep you awake of night. But it says, but overcome this evil with good. Do good to them. they're driving crazy. Well, I mean, in a sense, what in the world is wrong with that man? I stole something, or I broke something of his, or I said this about him, and he knows it. And here he is offering me something good. They can't understand it. And so it's good for you. And it's good for them. And it'll give you a whole lot better nice rest. And you can be closer drawn to the Lord. And everything will be a much better life for you if we can practice these things. I hope that some of these things I've read, and I know we've heard them several times, but it's always good to reach you and read. Have a lesson that we've heard time and time again, and it kind of brings some things back. And might have been a year or two since you heard something like this, and then in that past year or so, something's happened like this, and it will kind of give you an idea of how you could have done it a little bit different, or that you did it right and praise the Lord. So we thank you for listening to us tonight. I'm glad I could come and read for you and pray for us as we try another time. Thank you so much.